Welcome to another episode of Joyous Journeys After 60. I'm Jane Ray, and I'm here with my podcast partner, Andreas Stein. Say hi, Andreas.
Hey, how is everyone doing, Jane? Thank you for being here with me.
So today we're going to tackle a topic that I think is so, so, so important. And we're going to call it being you. You know, many of us know that throughout the course of our lifetimes, we serve many roles. We are children, students, we are young adults, we are husbands and wives, we are parents, we're workers, we have different aspects of our careers. And when you reach this point of your life after 60, and dare I say even after 65, your definition changes. And throughout the course of your lifetime, you've really had to prove your worth to yourself, to others. And again, we've probably been pretty comfortable with those roles. Now, you're just you. And so Andreas and I really want to take some time today and talk about what that means and really kind of peel away the layers of kind of the new you in this joyous journey over 60. So Andreas, let me ask you, how do you define being just you?
This is an exciting discussion. I use you as an example, Jane. You knew how to be Jane, the entrepreneur who's building businesses. You know how to be Jane, the inspirational speaker who can motivate many, many, many people. You know how to be Jane, the mom who is raising kids. You know how to be Jane, the spouse. And there is that point in life where all these layers are peeled back and now it's just Jane. Do you know how to be Jane? Not Jane, the entrepreneur, not Jane, the executive, not Jane, the professional, just Jane and nothing else. And is that enough? Our whole life, every single day, we need to prove to others and we need to prove to ourselves that we are worth keeping. If we are not proving it, we're gone. We lose our job, we lose our career, we may lose a relationship, we lose everything. Now at that stage in our life, and we are 65 or so, or suddenly it's just Jane. Does that mean, is that enough? Do I need to be something else? And to find a way to be comfortable, to be okay with just being Jane, not Jane the executive, not Jane the professional, just Jane. That is that joyful journey after 60, what it is about, to get to that point where I no longer need to be Jane and, but I can just be Jane. I can just be me. I don't need to prove to myself. I don't need to prove to anyone else. I don't need to prove to God anything. It is okay to be me and only me. And that is where the journey after 60 can truly be a journey towards the most beautiful and exciting and fulfilling times in life.
But it can also be confusing, right? Yeah. And so, you know, all of those different me's, right? And from a previous episode, I'm happy to share, I've only been retired a year. And I waited a few years after 65 before doing that because I didn't know what my retirement life would look like. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't have any hobbies other than business, right? I had my family, which really, when I wasn't working, that took up my headspace as well as my time. But I didn't know how to be just me. And I was confused. Would I be able to do that? Right? Would I suddenly try to take up hobbies that I really wasn't interested in? Would I try to find something that replicated my work life because that was how I thought I was getting my personal satisfaction? And for the first year, and I've shared this with you, Andreas, my first year of retirement, I woke up every morning, I made a list of what I had to do, and I tried to find opportunities for me to apply my expertise, in the field that I was in on a volunteer basis. But I also kind of figured out that had sailed, that ship had sailed, and that chapter in my life was closing, but I didn't know how to fill the next chapter up. And so it is confusing, and it is something that requires some introspection about, because again, you have all the time in the world to do anything you want, presuming that you have the resources to do that. And again, not everything requires financial resources. You have all the time to do anything, and yet you don't know what to do any day.
I think, Jane, it is so confusing because when you look back, you don't even remember a time when it was just you. It was Jane, the high school student. It was Jane, the college student. It was Jane, the person who's getting married. It was Jane, the woman who starts a business. It was Jane and always something else. We so often don't even remember a time in our own lives where it was okay to just be you. So we cannot look back to 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago and say, well, that's how I do it. It is a completely new challenge, a completely new environment, and that's scary because we are usually comfortable with doing things that we have had some experience with. We don't have any experience with that challenge. It's okay to just be you. And, you know, I'm a pastor. So for me, it's often, going back to my faith in God. And for me, this has been very liberating to realize God called me. God didn't call me the person who knows how to speak, the person who knows how to do this, the person who knows how to do that. God has called me. God has called you, not God has called you as a person who knows how to do all of these amazing things. God has called you because you are God's child, and that's enough. And so to learn how to be comfortable, to embrace just being you and not having to prove to yourself, to anyone, to God, that is the most liberating moment. But it is scary. It is confusing because we have never done it before. And this is the opportunity for the joyous journey after 60. Now you can do it. Now you have the time and the ability just to explore who you actually are. It may be the time in your life, for the very first time, you fall in love with yourself because you have never known who you really are. Maybe this is the first time after 60 where you find out who you are and say, I love that person. I wonder why I've never met this person before.
Well, if you think about it, the last time you were you was probably in your preschool ages, right? Before age 5. Because at that point, you had all the time in the world, right? The expectations of your parents were still pretty small. The expectations of the world were still pretty small. Your expectations of yourself, the world was your oyster, right? So, you're 3 or 4 years old and time has no meaning to you. And, obviously there are rules. And then when you fast forward to this stage after 60, it's not like those roles or those relationships go away. You're still a parent. You're likely still a spouse. But now your children have grown and they have lives of their own and they have children. So now maybe you're a grandparent, which is great, right? Which is great. But again, on a day-to-day basis, you being you is something I think you have to internalize and fall in love with yourself, as you said, Andreas. Fall in love with yourself so that you can take this next chapter and make it amazing, right? And make it amazing. And again, not have to prove to yourself or to somebody else. You know, we talked before we started recording, we also talked about expectations of people. that if you're 65 and you suddenly are retired and you sit on the couch all day watching soap operas, you're not going to feel so good about yourself, and everybody else around you is going to think you're lazy. If you're 85 and you're sitting around watching soap operas all day, eating chips on the couch, nobody's going to bother you, and you probably feel like you've earned that right. But there's this funny age in between the two where a lot of people try to fill that time because they're afraid of being alone with themselves. Right. They're afraid of having to get to know themselves. And again, you may still have a partner. You may still have your children nearby. You may have grandchildren nearby. But this is that time to also set aside for you and to get to know yourself and to get to know what you like and maybe what you don't like. And you've never liked, but for whatever reason, because of your circumstance, you had to like. So it is kind of getting reacquainted with yourself, feeling comfortable with what either you're doing or not doing, and really not caring what the rest of the world thinks, and again, caring what you think. And then being able to build a chapter step by step by step that you're going to feel is joyous, because joyous is also a very personal feeling. What you feel is joyous and what I feel is joyous may not be the same thing. But until we know ourselves, we're not going to be able to do that.
And it is your chapter. It's not the chapters that your customers, your employer, your children, whoever wants to write, it's your chapter. And it's only your chapter. I found this also interesting, Jane. Whenever I talk to somebody, and sometimes I start the conversation out with, hey, what are you doing? What are you up to? And it's not a thought-through question, just a way to start conversations. And so many times people respond with almost a sense of defiance. I'm staying busy. I wasn't talking about that. It's almost like this natural reflex. I need to prove at this stage in my life to you and other people that I'm busy, that I'm doing something. Hey, this stage, it's okay to not be busy. It's okay to be you. This is your chapter now. You don't need to prove to anyone how busy or not busy you are. You don't need to give account about this to anyone. It's your chapter. You write it. And you may find out that your chapter, this new chapter, will take you into a direction that you could have never imagined, that you could have never envisioned for yourself. And this is why this chapter may be the most amazing chapter in your entire life, because it's going to be the first chapter that you alone wrote that is just about you and not you and.
And I think, you know, the reason that we're starting this podcast, launching it with this topic, is you being you, you getting acquainted with yourself. You're being comfortable with this time in your life, that it is your time, is going to be the launch pad also for not only other topics you and I are going to talk about, but other experiences that you're about to go through, the good and perhaps the not so good. But you have to be comfortable with yourself. So now that we've identified that everybody has to be comfortable with themselves, how do you do that? You know, what are steps, perhaps, that our listeners can take to really kind of get reacquainted with themselves? And as I said before, I'm kind of going through this myself in trying to figure out, okay, who are you now? Or maybe who have you always been? Who, you know, Jane has to meet Jane. And kind of, you know, hello, I'm Jane. Hi, I'm Jane. And figure it out from there. Any suggestions for, you know, ways that people can really kind of start really getting comfortable with just being you?
I think one of the biggest challenges, and there's many practical steps, and we will be exploring a lot of these practical steps in episodes that will follow in the future. One of the big challenges of Jane Meet Jane is that we carry all of these disappointments and wounds and betrayals and everything that was part of our past with us, and they push us our past drives us and wants to move us into this direction, wants to move us into that direction. We replay in our heart, our mind at age 65, these battles, these disappointments, these betrayals that happened when we were 35, 45, 55, whenever, and we keep playing. And I think part and one specific challenge of Jane Meet Jane and Do You Like Jane is to find a way to embrace your own past, the things that have shaped and molded you into that person who you are today. If you cannot make peace, if you cannot embrace your past, the good, the bad, the ugly, your past is not going to go away. It will keep haunting you. It will keep driving you. It will keep pushing you into directions you may not want to go. So, one practical challenge of Jane Meet Jane, it's okay to just be you, Jane, means to take maybe a look at these wounds that are still hurting, that are still bleeding. And they may be 25 years ago. You know, if I cut myself with a knife, it stops bleeding after a few moments. I put a bandage over, and a couple of days, it's like nothing ever happened. Sadly, the wounds that we carry in our heart, they don't stop bleeding. They keep bleeding, and they can keep bleeding for years and years, for decades and decades. So one practical step has to do, one practical challenge will have to do with embracing our past.
I agree. I think that we are the sum of our experiences, the good, the bad, and the ugly, as you've said. And embracing the past, particularly the hurtful parts of your past, is difficult because it does resurface every once in a while. But of course, we can't disassociate from it. And I think accepting that all of those experiences made you the amazing person you are today. And so part of it is recognizing you cannot go back and change the past, and we don't have time travel, so that doesn't exist. But it's also accepting the fact that the past doesn't have to define the future. And I think that's part of the movement forward. We're going to talk about embracing the past in a future episode. I also think the other thing is to figure out something that you've always wanted to do, something simple, right? Always wanted to do, but never had the time to do. And yeah, you're going to say go to the gym, or you're going to, you know, they're going to give you all the usual suggestions, but maybe it's taking a book and going to a park and just reading where nobody bothers you. Maybe it's, I told you, I just started playing tennis again, which I didn't think I could at this age. And frankly, the reason I'm so excited about it is because I'm not bad at it. I always loved it, but I was very intimidated about being bad at it. So maybe go back and either revisit something you had a hobby before, and maybe you had to give it up. I think what the message I'm trying to share here is do something for you, right? Not what everybody tells you you should be doing, not what, you know, the experts in the field who are all very smart and have great advice, not what they're telling you to do. Do something you want to do. Whatever that is, whatever, and again, doesn't have to cost anything, doesn't have to, but something that just makes you happy.
And you don't need to justify that choice.
Exactly.
If you just want to sit for 3 hours in a park bench and read a book and have a cup of coffee in your other hand, then that's it. You don't need to explain to anyone, not even to yourself, why you are doing it. If you want to do whatever else there is, you don't need to give account, you don't need to justify it, you don't need to explain it. You just do it. And you may find out that you want to do more of it, or you want to find out, yeah, okay, never mind, that wasn't it. And that's okay, one way or the other. But it takes that courage to, I don't need to explain, I don't need to justify, I just do it. And we'll see where it takes me.
Yeah, because there's no expectation. Again, if you have a partner saying, hey, I'm going to go sit in the park for an hour and go read a book or whatever, just do it.
Right?
Just do it. Nike had it right with just do it. So we're out of time. And so this is a topic that isn't just one episode. I think this theme of UBU is something that we're going to carry through future episodes as we talk about other social and emotional aspects of life over 60, because we do want you to have a joyous journey. I want to have a joyous journey. You're going to approach retirement, and we know you are going to have a joyous journey. So,
and I'm looking forward to it.
So with that, hopefully after listening to this episode, you do go something and go reacquaint yourself with yourself. Again, I'm Jane Ray. I'm with Andrea Stein. And this is Joyous Living Over 60. Thanks.